Welcome to the Big Money Questions. I'm Rachel Rickard-Strauss. I'm personal finance editor at This Is Money. Today we're going to tackle inflation. We're lucky enough to have David Marles with us. He's Professor of Economics at Imperial, and he also was on the Bank of England's Monetary Policy Committee until just last year. So inflation, it just seems one of the mainstays of nostalgia that we talk about, when the price of a loaf of bread used to be 20p, and people's first jobs, they talk about how they were earning £13 a month or whatever it is. We talk about how things were so much cheaper. Of course, they weren't necessarily, because it depends where the wages are also, how wages compare to the price of stuff. But it's not just rose-tinted. Prices of things have been going up and do generally go up. So we're going to talk about the inflation that's behind this, why it is that it happens. And also, the Bank of England's main target is inflation. The governor of the Bank of England has to write a letter to the Chancellor of the Exchequer when it doesn't hit or it's not near its target of 2% inflation. And why is this so important? So David, could we start off, why does the Bank of England want prices to go up every year?
Well, the target, as you rightly say, is 2%, so it's a relatively low target. And in fact, there are reasons to believe that if in the shops measured prices seem to be going up by 2%, in reality, that probably means the true price of things is about constant. And the reason I say that is that there are some commodities, computers would be a good example, where the quality of computers, the power of the computers, rises so much year on year that even if the ticket price that you might pay in the computer shop looks like it's about the same or maybe even slightly higher, if you adjust for the quality improvement, actually the price is probably flat or, with computers, almost certainly falling. So economists reckon, roughly speaking, that if measured prices are going up by 2%, in reality, adjusted for quality improvements, the true price of things is roughly constant. So you should think of a 2% inflation target as, roughly speaking, aiming for constant prices.
So it's not really 2% at all. Why do we talk about it in those terms then, when it's closer to zero?
Well, it's because there's a slight difference between the way that statisticians measure inflation and what you might call true prices adjusted for quality. Because things typically get better, and I've mentioned the example of computers, where it's strikingly obvious that the quality of computers, the power, what they can do, is dramatically better than it was 5 or 10 years ago. So when you measure the prices of things, it's difficult sometimes to adjust for these quality things, and therefore the measured rate of inflation is probably a little bit higher than the true rate of inflation by about 2%. So what I'm suggesting to you is that when the Bank of England seems to be aiming at a small positive rate of inflation plus 2%, you should think of that really as being approximately constant prices.
So we're sort of assuming a relatively constant level of improvement in things, which is funny because things move around so much. As you say, you talk about computers, but that's been rapid in the last sort of 20, 30 years.
Well, it has. I think you could also say the same thing about most commodities. I mean, cars have got better. They don't rust anymore. And I remember when I was a kid, if you bought a car 2 or 3 years later and as you put it in the garage, there would be rusts all over it. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't happen anymore. When did you last see a rusty car? So there are many commodities whose quality improves generally a bit year by year. And that's why the inflation rate that is measured by the statisticians, the number you see in the headlines, is probably a little bit higher than the true rate of increase of prices adjusted for quality.
And why is the Bank of England so concerned with inflation? Why is it sort of one of its primary occupations or aims is to control it?
Well, I think the big answer to that is the following. There's no particular advantage in a country having a high rate of inflation. There are only disadvantages, really. When the UK had extraordinarily high inflation in the mid-1970s, in 1974, 1975, the inflation rate in the UK was close to 25%. That didn't make the UK a rich country. On the contrary, it caused all kinds of economic problems, and it was a period of very low growth and high unemployment. economists tend to think, and I think they're right to think this, tend to think that there is no advantage in terms of lower unemployment or faster growth by putting up with a higher rate of inflation. In fact, you might expect that the rate of inflation in the long run has, if anything, a slightly negative effect on output and real wealth and the level of employment. In which case, you might as well aim for a low and stable level rather than put up with 10, 15, 20% as the average rate of inflation. And that's the sort of big reason why the government has decided the Bank of England should pursue a very low rate of inflation as its target.
So, essentially, if you don't sort of get that bit sorted, the other bits won't work either. There's no point in sort of... you can try and target employment rates or something like that instead, or GDP growth, but unless you've got inflation under control, you're not going to get those desired outcomes.
Well, I think if inflation isn't under control and it's highly volatile from year to year, it is likely to cause disruption in the economy generally. It's going to make consumers confused about making economic decisions. There are all kinds of problems that can come along with volatile inflation. I don't think that the Bank of England, in setting monetary policy, in the long run, has much influence over the things that really determine how wealthy we will be. Productivity, the overall level of GDP, the level of employment. They're much more to do with the education system, the tax system, a whole range of other issues. I think monetary policy in the long run can only do rather limited things, but one of which is important, is to set a framework so that people can have some confidence that the rate of inflation might be at a low and stable level on average. And that's about as much as you could expect from the central bank, the Bank of England.
When you talk about the limits to the sort of things that the Bank of England can and can't do, there seems to be increasing powers moved over to the Bank of England from the Treasury to do, you know, can step in if it thinks that house prices are getting too high. And we've got this, you know, the more sort of focus on financial stability
Well. Well, I think there's two separate things that the Bank of England now does. On the one hand, there's monetary policy, which usually means moving the level of interest rates, and that is directed at trying to keep the level of inflation low and stable. That's one set of things. There's another really quite different set of things the Bank of England is now asked to do, which is to try and preserve financial stability, to try and stop a recurrence of the mess we got into here in the UK in 2008, with the banking system collapsing and the government having to step in and put a very large amount of taxpayers' money into major banks, RBS and Lloyds. That second set of things the Bank of England is asked to do is really to do with stability in the financial system, trying to ensure that banks are not lending too much money to people who will struggle to repay it. Hence the focus recently upon the housing market and some concerns until recently that house prices might be rising unsustainably fast and banks may be getting back into a situation of lending money against housing, which might cause problems if down the road interest rates go up. So that second set of things is to do with financial stability, where there has been a focus on the housing market. And the things the Bank of England can do about that are really rather different from what I would call monetary policy, which is aimed specifically at trying to keep the overall rate of inflation low.
Monetary policy and controlling the rate of inflation, so much of it comes down to interest rates.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could sort of talk us through what the relationship is between the two.
Well, the idea, roughly speaking, is this. Supposing the economy is showing signs of overheating. Spending is rising very fast, but the ability of the UK to produce output, the real productivity of the UK, if you like, is not matching that. And so there's a growth in spending which is running ahead of the ability of the economy to produce output.
Okay.
Now, that would mean that unemployment might be going down very quickly, that firms may be struggling actually to find workers to fill vacancies. It may mean that firms could barely keep up with the demand for their output, and so we're beginning to increase their prices. Wages might begin to rise as well. And so inflation pressures would be building within the economy. I mean, I'm describing a situation which hasn't existed in the UK since the financial crisis almost 10 years ago. So I'm asking you to think about a quite different situation from the one we're in this morning. But supposing that that was the situation the economy was in, the main thing the Bank of England could try to do about that would be to slow the pace of spending. And putting up interest rates would tend to do that. Firstly, it would increase the cost of mortgages and debt, and that would reduce the spending power of many millions of people and firms in the UK. It might also have some impact on the exchange rate, so the value of sterling might rise a bit. Well, that would actually reduce the demand for exports from the UK. It would also make the imports somewhat cheaper. Mm-hmm. Those things would tend to bring inflation pressures down. So that's how you would use monetary policy if the economy looked like it was overheating and inflation was moving above the target level.
And as you say, where we are this morning, I mean, we haven't had inflation in anywhere near its target now for many years.
Correct.
Do you see that sort of that continuing for some time, or do you think that it'll be sort of temporary things that have kept inflation down that will start to fall out?
Well, I think it will probably, you know, when you look back in history at this period, I think it will look like a temporary period of inflation beneath the target. So where inflation has been for most of the last 2 or 3 years now is pretty close to zero, target's 2. So it's a significant amount under the target. Incidentally, one would not want to describe this period as one of deflation. When people talk about deflation, they really mean falling prices. Well, that's not where we've been in the UK. Prices have been more or less constant, close to zero inflation for much of the last 2 or 3 years. Part of the reason for that, I think, is that many commodity prices, oil would be a good example, have been falling. That's not very much to do with conditions here in the UK. That's to do with the sort of global markets where prices for commodities, metals, tin, rubber, agricultural commodities, as well as oil, they've been falling for much of the last few years, and that has a pretty powerful effect on the inflation rate here in the UK. I suspect that this will be a temporary phenomenon, and that the inflation rate in the UK will move gradually back up toward that 2% target level. That's what the Bank of England right now expects to happen. Mm-hmm. Not in the immediate short term, but perhaps over the course of the next 18 months, 2 years, and that seems to me pretty plausible.
Yeah. When you say, though, you mentioned earlier that the rate of inflation is sometimes seems sort of lower than it actually is, than it comes out in the headline numbers, because things underneath are sort of improving, the technology or the services or the commodities that we buy. If the headline numbers at the moment are still around sort of 0% or a little bit above, is that not then prices falling?
Yes, it probably is. When you adjust for quality, it probably is a very mild decline. Mm-hmm. Right now, I think the inflation rate, literally this morning in the UK, on the latest numbers is +0.5%. Yeah. If you adjust for quality improvements, that probably means that prices are very slightly falling year on year. But I mean, it's pretty close to price stability now. It probably is a mild reduction in prices.
And it's not so much, of course, the fear with deflation is that people think, well, the price of things is going down, so I'm not going to buy it today, I'll buy it tomorrow, it'll be cheaper. And we're not seeing that sort of...
No, I don't think we're even close to that. Mm-hmm. I used to joke to my colleagues on the Monetary Policy Committee that even if the prices of many goods, let's take TVs and computers, let's suppose the prices between now and a week from now were going to fall by 1%. Many people wouldn't postpone going out and buying the big flat screen TV they've always wanted, even if it was going to be 1% cheaper in a week's time. Mm-hmm. Well, the idea that it might be 1% cheaper in a year's time, and people would postpone buying a flat-screen TV because if they waited a year, it would be 1% lower, seems to me wildly implausible. Mm. Now, of course, if prices were falling by 20, 30, 40% between now and a year's time, well, that's a different story. But I mean, if prices were falling by 0.5% or 1%, I think it's wildly unlikely that people are going to postpone buying things to wait for them to be just a slightly cheaper in a year's time.
Yeah, and there are all sorts of other reasons why they might be postponing buying things at the moment that are much higher on the agenda than a little bit of inflation.
Absolutely. I mean, general economic uncertainty, concern about your job, where the economy is going, those are real reasons why people might not go out and buy the flat screen TV. But the fact that it might be 0.5% cheaper in a year's time is not one of them.
Yeah. Finally, if I could ask you to kind of step back and reflect on the this emphasis that we put on inflation targeting. Mm. Is that the best target? Do you see a better way that we can do things?
Well, I think it's pretty sensible to have an overall target for inflation. But I think the regime we've got in the UK is what I would call flexible inflation targeting. And what I mean by that is this. What the Bank of England is aiming for is that, on average, over a period, the rate of inflation is close to the target level. But they are not obsessed with moving interest rates up and down in order to try and keep inflation at all points in time as close to the target level as they possibly can. Yeah. If we go back a few years, I remember I was on the Monetary Policy Committee at the time. If you go back to the end of 2011, the rate of inflation in the UK temporarily went up to 5%. In fact, it was slightly more than 5%, 5.25%. At that time, unemployment was a lot higher than it is now, and growth in the economy was very weak. And the decision at that time we took on the Monetary Policy Committee was that it did not make sense to increase interest rates very sharply to try and bring inflation down from 5.25% to 2% as quickly as we possibly could, because we thought at that time that there were temporary factors which had pushed the rate of inflation up, and that it would gradually come back down to 2% over the course of the next 18 months, 2 years, and that it didn't make sense to try and accelerate that process, put interest rates up, and make the economy grow slowly and unemployment rise again. So we didn't. We took a view that it would gradually come back down. And as it turned out, that's roughly what happened. And I think it was a sensible decision to allow that deviation of inflation from the target to persist for a little while, because it was probably going to be temporary. And that's what I mean by flexible inflation targeting. The Bank of England, and the same would be true of the US Fed, their central bank, and the European Central Bank in Frankfurt, although they have an inflation target, they don't believe that they should move monetary policy up and down very dramatically in a volatile way to try and move inflation back in the very short term to the target level. So although the centerpiece of monetary policy is an inflation target, it does take into account things like the state of the economy, unemployment, GDP growth, and the overall aim is really that on average the inflation rate should be close to the target rather than at every point in time.
So it's quite loose in the sense that, I mean, the governor has to write a letter to the Chancellor, but he doesn't really get a slap on the wrists. The Monetary Policy Committee has to sort of keep that benchmark in mind, but it can say this is a time when we should be prioritising looking more at wage growth or employment rates or GDP, so long as, you know, you're not going too far off the scale and you're in the long term targeting that rate.
Right, and the purpose of those letters, which you rightly point out, the Governor of the Bank of England on behalf of the Monetary Policy Committee has to write every few months if inflation is more than 1% from the target level. The purpose of that letter is to explain why inflation may have moved away from the target and to outline the strategy of the Bank of England in gradually bringing it back to the target level.
Yeah. There always seem to be sort of particular unusual circumstances that feed in, you know, the oil price suddenly plunged that no one saw coming, or now we've got Brexit and that will feed in as well. And you know, you can sort of model over the longer term, but there seem to be these things that thwart regularly.
Yes, and I mean you're right, that stuff happens, as they say, and the stuff that happens is difficult to predict, and sometimes it moves inflation up above the target level, and sometimes it'll temporarily push it beneath it. That's inevitable. I don't think anybody should expect the level of inflation to be always very close to the 2% level.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best one can hope for is that on average, the rate of inflation stays pretty close to that level. And we don't get back into the kind of situation which I remember when I was a kid, which was, you know, inflation sometimes at 15, 16, 20, 25%.
Yeah. Thank you so much, David, for joining us and talking us through it. Thank you very much for joining us.